Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 283, part 1, promise 5. Today is Friday, March 15th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's message is entitled, Promise 5. Methinks many have not fully received the promise of eternal life, or have stepped off the rock of Jesus Christ because of some Ishmael, some legal beagle elder work-it-out-yourself person. But listen to this in 1 Kings 5 and or 8 and 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he has promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promises, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. What is it saying there? It's saying God gives good things to men according to his promise. According to his promise. So we have been ministering on the promises of God and how sure they are, because he made the promise. And the Bible says he cannot lie. And how our faith must have something to rest on. And so God gave us promises. And also we said, without promises, we could not have become believers. We believe on what? We believe on the promises, which then produces faith in what God says. And the Bible says, we confess God's word with our mouth, resulting in salvation. How simple it is. And so God gives good things to me according to his promise, and that's a fact. Not just a mere opinion. We declare and we challenge the world. We challenge the Ishmael crowd. We challenge the law groups to disprove this statement that we can live according to the promises of God and that he is not a man that he should lie. Of course, I have never known a person who trusted God to be disappointed because he didn't keep his promise. He always keeps his word. If we are faithful to walk in faith and having done all stand, you get the promise. Now, how do you get it? By believing it. And sometimes there's a test and sometimes there's a trial. But he always keeps his word. Of course, I have been and I have known of others who were sustained under very heavy trials. How do they do that? By trusting in the Lord's promises. Probably this has been the hardest half of my ministry, this 8 years. Especially the last 3 years. It's probably been the hardest as far as believing in the promises, because there is a trial connected to it. But it comes by resting in the word of the Lord and loving Jesus Christ. Not even that you would know it sometimes, but you love him or because you obey him. That proves you love him. And sometimes you don't even know that in your own physical sense, but there's something inside that drives you. And I thought as I was preparing this message, oh, how the great gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has been perverted. The gospel of perfect health, which is says a person told me one time, he says, well, if you're not healed, it's because you lack faith. And I said, why is it that you get so embarrassed for God if things don't happen according to your timetable, if they ever do happen? They might not ever happen. And so they get embarrassed for God. Actually, it's their own pride. And I've also ministered, and I think is dying. Oh, I certainly hope so. The gospel of prosperity, which has people expecting all sorts of goodies and things. Know how shallow it sounds to us who are in the battle, down here looking at a lot of poverty. How shallow that seems. How perverted and gross it seems. We look at Ethiopia, we look at starving millions all around the world. How shallow it seems. We've created shallow, fearful, unbelieving, weak, I think, Christians. Now it's starting to show up. I wondered to myself, what are people going to do when the end comes? And they've had no trials, and they've never received any. And what's lacking then? People do not love Jesus like they should. Love lacking and faith slacking. That's where it's at. See, if you love the Lord, you're going to suffer his sufferings. Are you hearing this message tonight? And then we have the people who refuse to believe in full salvation. The nervous ninny group. The unhappy, twitchy-lipped crowd. I think this promise is being fought by Satan himself. He has Christians arguing over salvation. The Isaac people, the freeborn, have assurance. And then we have the Ishmael crowd that can't receive, won't receive, never will receive. Romans 1 and 16 says like this, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And see, we're talking about the promises. You can't receive any of the promises until you really believe you're saved. You got to believe you're on terra firma. You got to believe you're on solid ground, the rock, before you can receive anything else. You got to know where you're at. Well, that's simple, isn't it? Yes, just simply receive. And I think then our little mouth of doubt and those doubtful confessions is like hollering against a 1,000-mile-an-hour wind. Because salvation, which is God doing for you what you cannot do for yourself, is fully defined in the Bible by these great words. And oh, if we'd only get into these words. Atonement, redemption, these are all promises now. Justification, regeneration, and reconciliation. Are you hearing this? Those are all promises. All backed by God's promises. Atonement. A once and for all atonement. I said once and for all. Something that's been finished some almost 2,000 years ago. Atonement. You simply believe this promise. It's finished. Walk up on Calvary's hill, face the cross, hear the crowd, and hear God say, it's finished, and watch those graves crack open, and then shut your mouth. Shut your mouth of unbelief. Father, forgive them, and then we have redemption. It means deliverance by paying the price in full. And oh, how Satan hates this word and his crowd of unbelievers. Ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, what a price. The precious blood of Jesus. Or is there a song like that? Oh, the blood of Jesus. How dangerous, I thought, to spurn and ridicule the cross by not believing its power. Say that word, power. Justification, another promise, refers to the judicial act of God whereby he declares righteous the one who believes on Jesus Christ. He hath made you righteous by believing. And so the righteous judge says, you have been made righteous. Case dismissed. The believer has been to court only to find out that nothing has been laid to his charge. Wow. Not guilty, the judge says. Jesus took full penalty, and so we are justified. Say that word, justified. That means because Jesus paid it all, justification is all by faith in that work of our Lord and not of our works. Because of his work, we are set totally free. You are free, I mean, totally free to go in and go out and go in and go out. Regeneration. His life in us regenerates us. We don't have a whole lot to do with it. I mean, no, in the end, it's the Holy Spirit that does all the work. Oh, you can get into every Bible study there ever was, but actually it's the Holy Spirit working in you. In the end, that's what changes you. You'll see people going back and forth and in and out and back and forth. Isn't that right? Maybe some of your young friends are going back and forth and in and out. But doesn't matter. Glory to God. We go by the promise. Don't worry, they'll suffer. We all do. Until we're changed into His image. Fret and don't worry, the Bible says. Am I a man that I should lie? No, I'm God. God is saying, I'm faithful. So be faithful to believe the promise. They can't get away. None shall slip out of my Father's hand. People just hate that, see, because they like to govern and they like to shape and they like to mold and they like to, you're embarrassing me. Regeneration. We change inwardly, and all of a sudden things start to fall off. Well, see, before things can really fall off, they have to become noticeable. And so you'll see someone going along the road, and there's something in them that has to change. Some kind of a festering, some kind of a something wrong in there, and it has to show up on the flesh. Boop. Now everybody sees it. Right? Now it's got to be dealt with. Well, not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now the person didn't even know they had that thing, but it shows up. An open sore on them. Golly, I kind of try to hide this kind of a disease in me, and I tried to hide it, and it popped out. To try to cover it up. But now you got to deal with it. Parents can't deal with it. People can't. Preachers can't deal with it. It's got to fall off by the power of the Holy Ghost. And every once in a while, we're shocked. I am shocked. I am totally shocked. Not me. I am never shocked. Don't be shocked. It's just showing up so God can deal with it, folks. God is dealing with us all the time. And so when we see these sin syndromes, it's coming out on people and coming out on, oh God, isn't this awful? What's ever going to become? God's doing a work. God is doing a work with the church right now. I know, but things were going along so wonderful and stuff. Were they? God is not the author of confusion. And that's just like your little ones. You know, Sue? I mean, they got to go through their things. And you got to trust the Lord with them. And they got to go to school. And you got to have the principal call up. And this happened and that happened. And, oh, God. Huh? I mean, you're just starting with this. And yet, we go by the promises of God. And we say, well, God is faithful. We're just borrowing them. They have a heavenly Father. Of course, we try to direct them, but come on. Right? And in the end, we're going to see a lot of this. Don't fall into dismay. All is not lost. It's the beginning of a purging. I'm not talking about in a legal sense. I'm talking by the Holy Ghost. Have you noticed once in a while something will pop out on you didn't think was there? Well, maybe you kind of knew it, but you kind of hid it. It kind of snuck out on you. How do you deal with something until it's out there? Right? And so regeneration, we start to change and our old faith falls off. Sort of a facelift. And then we get free in that situation and we look like we've had a facelift. The burden is lifted. And so we have then reconciliation from, the Bible says, from death to life. So life forces are working in you. And death is working on the outside. Life is working on the inside. And there's a conflict of interest. And there's a whole lot of things that are heaving up. But greater is him, he that's within, than him is of the world. Hallelujah. And changes are happening. And it's embarrassing while we're happy because God doesn't show his hand. But he's like, they're all, look what they're doing. But there's a change going on the inside. See no man, it says, after the flesh. And so we go from darkness into light. Yeah, I believe knowing and trusting in the promises of God must be preached just to maintain sanity. Well, have you kind of thought everything was going crazy as of late? Everybody's going crazy. So what's new? What's new? You attack the president. You attack the military. You attack the church. Whew. Attack everything. Isn't it a crazy old world? Aren't these, after all, seducing spirits that have been loosed from the pit? Well, who cares? God's going to have his own way anyway. That's why we have to go by the promises. Hey, there ain't nothing else to go by right now, okay? Nothing. God says, I wish that you'd start to believe in the promise, so I'll take everything away, and all you'll have to stand on is the promise, because I'll take everything else away. And so see if Satan can cause confusion over salvation, the promise, the very beginning of a promise. Well, then the rest of the promises can't be trusted either, can they? That's why it's so important. Oh, glory to God. For people to actually know where they're at in Christ Jesus. Even whilst they're in a fix. How are you going to get out of something if you don't know there's a way out? God always makes a way where there seemeth to be no way, the Bible says. Why can't we believe that promise? Why is it so hard? Because our flesh gets embarrassed and we just get so upset. Oh, God, look at there, see how I am. I yelled, I shouted, I was mistrusting in all of this. But then I said the rest of the promises can't be trusted either if you can't trust in the once and forever salvation of the Lord. Now, here's the house over here, see? And all I have to do is enter this house in there. And he says, come on in, and I promise you a nice meal, and I promise you a warm bed, and it's going to be yours forevermore, and you won't have to pay anything for it either. All you got to do is just enter in. And you don't enter in, you aren't going to have those things. See, that's the whole just of the elder son that did everything perfect and stayed down on the farm. But would not enter into the feast. And here comes El Scabel, running up the road, sores of sin all over his body, and he goes in because he believed in the promise. Well, God wasn't embarrassed of him. Don't be embarrassed to me, and I won't be embarrassed to you. And then you'll see people praying, oh, I used to be in this church. Oh, God, bring them back! Bring them back! Huh? Back to what? They haven't gone no place. They have not gone any place. You can go to hell and God will be there. Sheol. You can go to Sheol and God will be there. You can't get away from God. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Oh, hey, don't get mad at me. Listen on the radio. Turn that radio back on again. It's so important during this time of confusion to believe in the promise. Isn't it? Whoa, yes it is. Yes, I believe God is true to every word that he has ever spoken. The Bible says God never lies. Of course not. I mean, the mere supposition is blasphemous. Why should he be false? Why should he break his word? And then I thought, how could he be God and not be just and not be true? There's no one to compete with. And so he can't, therefore, neither does he want to violate his promise. He can't. Through any want of faithfulness, he just is faithful. Isn't that he? He learned how to be faithful. No, he is all faithfulness. He is all truth, and he is all light. And so he's all love. And so he doesn't have to attain it. He doesn't have to study. It's what he is. That's the essence of his being. And so when he says, I save you forevermore, what does that mean? And then, of course, he does never promise beyond his power. How stupid. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? For God to say, I have miscalculated the power of the blood. It won't quite cover your sins. You're too much. I spoke too hastily. I never dreamed you were so lost. I mean, we're talking lost. We're talking nowhere to be found. No. That's not the case. He never said, I'll be more careful next time. No, because the Bible says God has all power. Now start to believe that. Why is that so hard? See, everything has to be rooted out and ripped out and torn out so that we can stand on the promise. Nothing left but the promise. Woo-hoo! Don't say amen, say ouch. Anyway, isn't it greater to stand on a promise and believe in a promise? Why live in supposition? Why live, well, hope it happens. There's nothing else around. There's nothing else to attach ourselves to. Everything else is going to be gone. Everything that you ever trusted in, government, family, jobs, unions, there's going to be nothing left. Social Security, insurance. Oh, I have an insurance policy. Well, what do you, hey, What do you think they're doing with your money? They're investing it, maybe in Mexico someplace. Sí, señor. Or China, or who knows? And they decide not to pay him. God's taking all these other little promissory things out. Hey, you want to go on these promises? No, you're going to have to go on my promise. I have spoken, and I am a man. Am I a man that I should lie? These are men. They're all liars. And you want to believe in them? No, God's taking all this stuff away. And so God has said, "Is all power." I think we frequently intend to act according to our word. But we find ourselves mastered by overwhelming circumstances, and our promises fall to the ground. Why is that? Because we are unable to perform it. But it can never be so with God. We make promises all the time to one another. And then right away after we say, "Why did I ever promise I'd do that? I didn't want to promise that. No, I don't want to do it. Why did I say I'd do it? I always get trapped by that person. They always make me say I'll do something, and I don't want to do it. I do not want to do it." And so we let one another down with our promises. Isn't that right? You ever have a worker say, "I promise this room will be done by the time you come back"? Huh? And they're sitting down at the corner having a cup of coffee? And give you a whole lot of excuses why they didn't get it done? See, all things are possible with God, not with man. Well, anything is possible with man, I should put it that way. Expect anything out of him. See, we sometimes make a promise and then afterwards discover it would be wrong to do as we said we'd do. Well, that's fine. I think we should admit we're wrong and then don't carry on to prove a point. And I think there's a lot of people trying to prove a point. There's a dying thing going on in the Church of God now, just totally dead. And so now we're going to try to prove a point. We're going to holler all the louder to these false gods while we're up there on Mount Carmel. Cut ourselves and moan and groan and cry out to the God of prosperity. Huh? Are you hearing this? And it's a dying issue. They forgot all about the gospel message, all about the blood, all about the cross, all about the wonderful gospel message that Paul says, "Woe be it unto me if it's not preached by me." And we forget all about it. We say, "Oh, that's for the evangelist." The Word of God says, "Go ye out into the highways and byways and minister unto all creation." Everybody. What good is the church if it doesn't offer Christ the promise? No, God does not make mistakes. Nor can the promise fail because of an alteration in the divine promiser. We change. Poor, frail things that we are, we fail. But the Bible says, "But the Lord knows no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hence his word abideth forever the same." Boy, I'll tell you, there's more comfort in those scriptures, and there's going to be more comfort in those scriptures as we go on in this, the race. And as the trials get heavier, and as things are taken away from us, we've been through enough trials. Let's not talk about no more. No, this is just the beginning. Bible talks about it. Woes, the beginnings of sufferings. This is just the beginnings. Praise God that you've been down here and you've been through a little bit and you've been prepared for battle. And that you've learned to be content with a little. Are you hearing this? Because the Bible says he changes not, his promises stand fast like the great mountains. Hath he said, the Bible says, and shall he not do it? Nor can, the Bible says, the word of God fall to the ground through forgetfulness on his part. We forget our promises all the time. Our promises to people and to God like a foxhole commitment. Oh, God. Oh, God. I remember seeing a show one time, and this guy was, he was going to die. So he was going to die anyway. So he swam way out into the ocean. He got out there, and he started getting afraid. So he started swimming back. Oh, God, if you'll only help me, I'll give you 50%, see? And oh, God, if you'll only help me. And he was way out to sea. He was way, way out there. And he was swimming. And God, if, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, Lord, if you'll only help me, I'll give you my house, and I'll give you my car, and I'll give you 50%. God, I'm talking 50%. Nobody gives 50%, God. I'll give you 50% of everything I own, God. And from now on, I'll never be mean to anybody. He's getting closer to shore. Now, Lord, you know, I promised you that 10%, Lord. I know I said 50%, but 10%, Lord, a lot of people don't even give that. And he's getting closer and closer to shore. Yeah. See, when we're in danger, we're ready to give our life. And, you know, it looks like we're going to lose it. And we'll try to save it by giving a larger portion of it. But when we get next to terra firma, and we're laying on the beach like a beached whale, out, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm in at 10%. Huh? That's what God's going for commitment right now, and everything else is going to be jerked from underneath us. It's going to look like there's no God around anywhere. You're going to have to cry out to God. Help! I'm drowning! So, you see here, God is a faithful promiser. We forget. We grow cold. No, the Word of God is still fresh, and we can, I think, trust men too much. But I don't think we can ever trust God too much. Oh, you're trusting in God too much. You are, you are. It's all right to trust in God if you're busy doing what He has set you to do and you believe He's going to take care of you. But you better be in harness with it. Well, there is a promise in the Bible that they never even mention. In this world, you will have persecution. I promise you that. In this world, you will have tribulation and trial. And it's not to get melancholy about, big liber-lipped. No, not at all. It's exciting to have those kind of things happen. It says, be exceedingly glad. Well, how can I be glad? Because you're not of this world. You're in it, but you're not of it. You're the Isaac crowd. You're on a higher plane, and you're headed for glory. Glory to God. Are you hearing this message?
That was episode 283, part 1 of Promise 5. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Sunday, St. Paddy's Day. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.